hideth my soul. What a blessing. Take your Bibles, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. We have looked at this verse a lot in Sunday school, and we might look at it a little bit more today, but it's powerful, and I'm really praying that God will direct everything about the service today. Salvation is such a wonderful thing to experience, and but it's more than just a prayer. It's more than just doing some works or being religious. It's such a vital connection to the Lord Jesus Christ, and to understand that is so important. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, I just want to read a few verses. Let's start in verse 1. The Bible says, "Would to God ye could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me." Paul is writing to the church at Corinth. "For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear," these are Paul's words, "lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him." Paul is saying, you might swallow that. You might believe some sort of lie, some sort of deception by the devil. And he brings the example of Adam and Eve being deceived, or Eve being deceived by the serpent. But what I want to speak on this morning is found in verse 3, the simplicity that is in Christ. We've worked a lot with children over the years, and it's wonderful to see some young people, see some children come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is simple. That's an easy thing to do to get saved. Amen? Because the Bible makes it that way. But let's ask God to bless his word today. Father, thank you for the truth, and I pray that you would make it so clear and that we would rejoice in it. God, help us as we go through the scriptures today. May you minister to us in Jesus' name. Amen. The devil's the author of confusion, obviously, because God is not the author of confusion. And sometimes we see how the devil tries to deceive. Sometimes we don't see it. Sometimes it's really sneaky. It's really subtle. But God always wants us to have the truth. And the truth comes from the Bible. Amen? It doesn't come from TV. It doesn't come from a book. It comes from the scripture. If those things go along with the scripture, then they're profitable. But we always go back to the scripture to find out what the truth is, because thy word is truth. I remember when I was in Bible college, one of our professors said, he put on the chalkboard and he spelled KISS, K-I-S-S. And we said, man, I wonder what that means. And he told us what it meant. Keep it simple, stupid, you know. And there was another preacher that said this, keep all the cookies on the bottom shelf. And so no matter who you're speaking to, make it simple. Don't make it complicated. And God wants to do that. And you find in 1 Peter 2:2, the Bible says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. There's nothing wrong with being a new believer in Christ and having a desire for the word of God. Amen? But when there's no growth and you have to keep going back to the milk, and we'll see that in a minute, that is not normal. A baby wants milk. Everybody's happy. Oh, look at the baby. Isn't he cute? Everybody's baby is the prettiest baby in the world. No, some of them, there are some ugly babies. Well, I'm just quoting her, but I didn't say that, so don't get mad at me. But anyway, but I might agree with that. But everybody feels that baby. And it's such an exciting thing to feed the baby and watch the baby, and they take their first steps. Amen. That's really not a happy day, because now they're everywhere and you got to tie everything down. But you see the growth. It's easy to see. And then they go from milk to yuck, this baby food, you know, peas, smashed peas. And anyway, they start to go there. And when they start eating popcorn and stuff, you know they've arrived. Amen. But there's a growth there. But there's nothing wrong with a baby being a baby. That's a good thing. Well, we compare that biblically. When we're born again, we're born again. That's the beginning of our Christian life. And we desire this sincere milk of the word that we may grow thereby. But here's some scriptures. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 12. For when the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles, simplicity of the oracles of God, unto become such as have need of milk and not strong meat. Now, if a baby doesn't grow, and there are reasons why they can't eat food, there's a problem with that baby, a health problem. And as believers, we ought to be growing. We're to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The Bible says that. So we mature as believers. When I was a child, I spake as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. 1 Corinthians 13. And there are so many verses that have to do with this. But we grow, we mature by receiving the Word of God. Not just by reading it, but by receiving it and putting it into practice in our life. Then we grow in the Lord. 1 Corinthians 3, 2. Paul said to this very carnal church, he said, I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet are ye now able. There's a problem with your digestion. You're not digesting the milk. It's not coming into the health of the body. 2 Peter 3:16, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which some things are hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable wrest or twist, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. They were not grounded, and so they twisted, they corrupted the scripture. They made it say whatever they wanted it to say. So there is a foundation, amen? And so we get saved, and we drink the milk of the word, and we learn, and then we get the meat of the word, and we continue to grow for the Lord. But we need that foundation. And what is that foundation? 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 11. Other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. He is the foundation, the simplicity that is in Christ. A child can get saved. Somebody that doesn't know anything about the Bible can get saved. Anybody can be saved, amen? And it's called God's simple plan of salvation. There was a track, I think that track is still around. Great, great track. Matthew 16, 18. Foundational truth. Jesus said to Peter, I say also unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock, Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Upon this rock I will build my church. Foundation. That's what has to be laid before we understand the things of God. Back in the Old Testament, the Jews were taken into captivity, and they're coming back in their land now. The 70-year captivity is over. And they're going to establish a temple and worship again in Jerusalem. And as they're there, Nehemiah goes, and he's kind of overseeing everything that's going on. And the walls were torn down in Jerusalem. There's a lot of damage. And it says, the strength of the bearers of the burdens is decayed, and there is much rubbish, so that we are not able to build the wall. The first thing they had to do was get rid of the rubbish, the torn down walls, before they could build a new wall. You just don't build a new wall on top of all the old rubbish that was torn down. It wouldn't do any good. Amen? And sometimes, I don't know what your salvation testimony is, but sometimes people learn so much in the wrong direction that it's hard to unteach, but you have to remove the rubbish before you can give the truth and build that wall, build that right foundation. I think that's so important. Jeremiah, God told Jeremiah, chapter 1, verse 10, see, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out, to pull down, to destroy, to throw down, to build and to plant. But it was two-thirds negative. That's what Timothy is in, that's what Paul is telling Timothy. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Two-thirds negative. And sometimes that negative has to be there so we can remove the rubbish so that we can have a good foundation. Amen? If there's any builders here, you know that's true. And it's important to have the right foundation. I would much rather be dealing with and talking with a person that has no Bible understanding at all than one that has been steeped in some error of doctrine, because it is hard to pull them out of that. But the Word of God can do that for sure. 2 Timothy 1:12, Paul said, I know whom I have believed, salvation, and am persuaded that he's able to keep me, to keep that which he's committed unto me against that day, eternal security. Amen? This is such a blessing. I'm glad I'm saved, but I'm glad I know I can never lose it. Amen? I'm glad that I am saved from the time I got saved through all eternity, because that's where the comfort comes from. If you're running around or, man, boy, am I really saved? Or, boy, look what I thought. Look what I did. Could I be saved? And all of the unrest, that's not salvation. And it's simple. And we'll go into this a little more in the message today, but I invite you to come to Sunday school. We take the verses and we really study them. It's a good thing to do. John 5:39, search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life. These are they which testify of me. Search the scriptures. 2 Timothy 3:15, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Mark 12:24, Jesus answering said unto them, do ye not therefore err, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God? Acts 17:2, just a couple more. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the scriptures. You go to 1 Corinthians 15, and Jesus died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried, and he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Everything is in the Bible. Everything we know about salvation is in the Bible. Amen? And it's not what we watch, see, hear. It's what God says in the Word of God. And John chapter 8 and verse 44, this will go along with our text that we read. There is not another Jesus. There is not another spirit. There is not another gospel that are real. There's only one real gospel, one real Jesus, one real spirit. Amen. The Bible says in John 8:44, Jesus was speaking to the Pharisees, ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning. Ye abode not in the truth, because there was no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a father of lies. And so the Bible tells us that. You can't believe something that's contrary to the scriptures. Thy word is truth. God, it's impossible for God to lie, but the devil's a liar. So if you know the devil's a liar and it's impossible for God to lie, let's see, which one am I going to follow? Boy, this is a tough one. Okay, here's a liar, and he's destroyed so many lives, and here's God, and he saved so many lives, and his Bible is true. I wonder which one I want to follow. Isn't it a no-brainer? Amen? I mean, you just follow the Lord, and you believe what he says. But I'm not sure I feel like that's the truth. Go back to what the Word of God says. Adam and Eve, the devil started all the way back then. You know, he denied the Word of God. He put doubt in their in Eve's mind, and they fell into sin because they did not follow what God said. And then after they fell into sin, they made their own coverings of their nakedness. They're made from their own hands. And God said, no, that won't work. And so he clothed them with skins. Well, you don't just get a skin off an animal without blood being shed. Amen? And so that was a picture. You come to chapter 4. Let me just read a couple of verses in Genesis chapter 4. You don't have to turn there to save time. But it says in verse 1, and Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought the fruit of the ground in an offering to the Lord. He brought his own works. And Abel also brought of the firstlings of the flock and the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and his offering he had not respect, for Cain was very wroth and his countenance fell. Why is that important? Cain is saying, I'm going to do this. Look what I'm bringing as an offering. And Abel said, no, God already established that. To bring an offering to the Lord, there was blood. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. And so he brought of the firstlings of his flock. And you don't have to turn, if I can find it, in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. So you find that story in the Bible, and what is the sacrifice? It was the animal, the shed blood of an animal. All that pictured was Christ. It was the blood of the Lamb, and we'll see that as we go through the scriptures. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works. It's the sacrifice. The sacrifice that God accepts that brings our salvation. Romans chapter 11 and verse 6. If by grace, then it is no more works, salvation. Otherwise, grace is no more grace, but if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. We're not saved by works. We're saved by grace. In Numbers chapter 21, we read the Old Testament story about the fiery serpents biting the children of God, the children of Israel. And when the serpent, picture of the devil, when the serpent bites, that poison is put in the veins and those people die. And so God told Moses to make a serpent of brass, put it on a pole and lift it up, and say to the people, if anybody looks at this serpent on the pole, he'll live. The poison won't have any effect. He won't die. And so they looked. They didn't bring an offering. They didn't do any works. All they did was look. The Bible says in John chapter 3, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And then it's John 3:16 after that. What is it? We just look to the cross. Amen? We believe in the cross. We have faith in what Jesus died for. And he died to forgive us of our sins, and we trust him as our Savior. Galatians chapter 3, if you'll turn over there. Galatians chapter 3, we'll read a couple of verses there. That's in the New Testament, Galatians chapter 3. And there's so many verses. If you have a problem with eternal security or what salvation really is, Romans is a great book. Galatians is a great book. You know, in Galatians chapter 3, it says faith 14 times. 14 times. But look at chapter 2, verse 16. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. Look at verse 21 of chapter 2. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Verse 24 of chapter 3. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. By faith, by faith. 14 times in that chapter, God says, put your faith in Christ and you'll be saved. I think that's a real blessing. Turn back to Romans, Romans chapter 4, Romans chapter 4. I didn't have time to study, so I just wrote a bunch of verses down, and we'll just read some verses. Romans chapter 4, verse 1. What shall we say then, that Abraham our father is pertaining to the flesh hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. And what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Says the same thing about David. Faith, faith, faith. That's how we obtain salvation. Titus chapter 3 and verse 5. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. We ought to be so thankful that we are not saved by works. We ought to be so thankful because we don't always do the right thing. In James it says, if you sin in one point, you're guilty of all the law. We're not saved by keeping the law. Nobody can keep the law. That's why Jesus came into the world to die for our sins. He was the only perfect sacrifice. There was no sin in him. Our sin was on him, not in him. He took our place so that we could, the penalty would be paid and we could spend eternity with God. If you're depending on your holy living or your righteousness to get you to heaven, well, you just lost it. Amen? You just lost it. Well, you know, I haven't sinned in 20 years. Well, you just lied. Amen? So, I mean, it just goes without reason that we need something more than our own good works. The Lamb that taketh away the sin of the world. John the Baptist says, there he is, Jesus Christ. He's the one that takes away the sin of the world. Not of works, not by works. Jesus is the only way. In 2 Corinthians 12:20, Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, he said, for I fear lest when I come, I shall not find you such as I would, and that I shall be found unto you such as ye would not, lest there be debates, envyings, wraths, strifes, backbitings, whisperings, swellings, tumults. Man alive. That was a very carnal church. This is 2 Corinthians he's talking about here. He's written them two letters, and it's talking about all the things that could be there and that are there that he is going to have to deal with when he gets there. Think how wonderful it is to share the gospel. Amen? And it's a principle. It's a foundation. It's our work. It's the work of the church. It's the work of every Christian. We don't go out and argue Bible. We go out and spread the word of God. Amen? And we'll see that as we go through these scriptures. But it's so important. Neither is there salvation in any other. There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. That's Acts chapter 4. The church, the people are starting to spread out. They're starting to give this message out, this great message. In verse 32 of this same chapter, and the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and one soul. And then it says in the next verse, great grace and great power was there in that church. One heart, one soul. What? They were giving the gospel out. Amen? They were sharing this wonderful truth about salvation. Such a blessing. Turn to Philippians. Philippians chapter 2. Never mind. You don't have to turn there. For sake of time. They were of one accord and of one mind. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Amen? The same mind. And that brought about unity. And what was that all about? Christ died for our sins. It's in the chapter. And so that's the message that we share with everybody. Everybody. Friends, neighbors, loved ones, people in the store, carry a tract. We've got to get the gospel out. That is the work of the church. Isaiah 12:3. Therefore, with joy shall we draw water out of the wells of salvation. We ought to rejoice that we're saved. We ought never to get more than a day away from the cross. In all of our prayers, some of our prayers during the day needs to be, boy, Lord, I'm really thankful I know you. Thank you for saving me. Showing that thanksgiving. Psalm 35:9. And my soul shall be joyful in the Lord. It shall rejoice in his salvation. Amen? Well, I don't have anything to be happy about today. Well, you can be thankful for your salvation. Amen? Psalm 13:5. But I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. Psalm 133, verse 1. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for the brethren to dwell together in unity. We are brothers and sisters in Christ because we're saved. Amen? What a blessing that is. Proverbs 11:30. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. Have you ever won a soul to Jesus Christ? Well, I've had a part in it. I support missions or, you know, I give to the church and the church gets the gospel out. Have you ever personally won somebody to Jesus Christ, where you took the Bible and you answered their questions and you showed them in the Bible how their sins can be forgiven. That is the responsibility of every Christian. Every Christian. It's not just get them to church and hear the gospel message. It's witnessing to people. Amen? And he that winneth souls is wise. We find in the scripture, John 15:8, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, and so shall ye be my disciples. That is our ministry. That is our work. The verses are endless about that. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. Christ came not in the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And so we preach the gospel to every creature. The verses are endless. But that is our responsibility. And if you've ever won somebody to the Lord, ever, you'll rejoice in that. And then maybe they'll win somebody, and they'll win somebody. And that's how the gospel is spread. When Paul planted those churches, he won this person, won that person. Timothy got saved and became a great preacher. And you see that gospel just spreading. Have you ever won somebody to the Lord? Follow me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. That's what happens. In 1 Peter chapter 3, and verse 15, sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Just somebody says, what are you happy about? Tell them you're happy about your salvation. Well, I was just thinking about how all my sins are forgiven. Boy, what an opening line, amen? Well, nobody asks me why I'm happy, because I'm never happy. You know, I mean, I'd complain, I'd go to work, and yeah, we razz on the boss, and you know, man, isn't life miserable, and you know, why are you so miserable? Don't tell them it's because you're saved. You know, that you got to be happy for that one. But it's just an important thing. Be ready always to give an answer of the hope that is in you. The hope that is in you. Our world's going crazy. Our world is going crazy. I'm not going to go in that direction, because I want to stay on this. I want a bright message. I want a happy message today. Somebody said, keep the main thing the main thing. And what is the main thing? It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? You find that all through the scriptures. It's the foundation. It's the first principles. It's everything to the believer. In John chapter 1 and verse 41, he first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, we have found the Messiah, which being interpreted is the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. He found his brother first. He found the Lord, then he found his brother. We have Mark 5:19. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, this was the maniac of Gadara, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee. What did God do for you? Go tell somebody what he did for you. Amen? Well, he didn't do much for me. Well, he can if you let him. Amen? And he can do a lot for other people. Luke 14:23. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. We talk about inviting people to church. I invite people to church. I know. Sometimes it's like pulling teeth. You can't make people come. Well, you ask me every day for 365 days, and I said no. And you say, well, maybe 366. Amen? But, I mean, we try and get our neighbors and relatives. Sometimes they don't come. But wouldn't it be good to attempt that? Amen? Because what if that person came and heard the gospel and got saved? Some sow, some water. God gives the increase. We're all partaker in somebody getting saved in church. Mark 16:15. And he said to them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Say, well, I'm not going to Africa. I got too many responsibilities here, and even if I didn't have responsibilities, I probably wouldn't go to Africa. But there's people that have given up their whole lives to go and preach the gospel. Missionaries. Amen? Well, I can't go. And there's reasons why we can't go. But Jesus in Acts chapter 1, Acts chapter 11, the angels say, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is gone into heaven shall come again in like manner. But verse 8, Jesus said, You'll be witnesses of me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. Both. And then he names four places. You'll be witnesses of me, both. Jerusalem and Judea, Jerusalem and Samaria, Jerusalem and the uttermost parts of the earth. Because there's a hub. Amen? And so our church supports, and it just keeps on going. But something has to be going on here. You know, I think it's important to teach on holy living. I think that is right. It's a biblical truth, and it's what a pastor has to do. But when I teach on holy living, or I say this is pleasing to God and this is sinful, you don't become holy so that you can be holier than thou. That's a Bible verse, holier than thou. You have holiness so that you can please God and have the power of God on your life so you can be an influence on somebody's life. That sinful life has no influence. Has no influence. That sinful life, what did you get delivered from? Well, we got delivered from the penalty of sin. We got delivered from the power of sin. And one day we'll be delivered from the very presence of sin. But it is something that delivers us from sin. The Bible teaches that. We memorize scripture. Thy word have I hid in my heart. Why? That I might not sin against God. And that I might have an answer of the hope that is in me when I'm talking to somebody. You can't carry a list of verses in your pocket, or you can carry a little Bible around, but you need to know where to go in that Bible. But we hide the word in our hearts so we can just have a conversation with somebody. Why are you so happy? Well, I know the Lord. You know, the Bible says blah, blah, blah. And you can help somebody. We memorize the Bible, not that we can be smarter than somebody else, amen, but that God can use our knowledge of his word to help somebody. I think that's so important. We memorize the Bible to, not to impress, but to express, somebody said. And then Acts chapter 8, Philip went to the Ethiopian eunuch, joined himself to the chariot. He was reading Isaiah 53. Philip says, do you understand what you're reading? He says, how can I except some man guide me? That's our cue. Amen? Yeah, you know, what's this all about? Man, I don't understand all of even what's going on in the world. There's Bible verses for that. Amen? And if somebody's reading the Bible, they say, I just don't understand this. That's our cue to say, well, I understand that. And he began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Amen? And God gives us opportunities all the time to do that. All the time. And that man accepted Christ and went on his way rejoicing because he had found the Lord. Great revival because of that. Acts chapter 10 and chapter 11. Peter goes to the Gentiles. Remember, he said, boy, I can't do that. And the Lord said, what I've cleansed, call not thou common. You go to the Gentiles. He went to Cornelius' house. And in chapter 10 and chapter 11, he brought words whereby they were able to be saved. Words that they were able to be saved by. And they got saved. Amen? God sent him even to a place he did not want to go. To people he did not want to witness to. Okay, Lord, if that's what you want me to do, I'll do it. You have Acts chapter 17. And turn there. Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17. This is Paul on one of his missionary journeys. Boy, this is so amazing. Paul is going to Athens. Verse 16, we'll start there. Now while Paul waited for them at Athens, Acts chapter 17, verse 16, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. Therefore disputed he in the synagogue with the Jews, with the devout persons in the market daily, with them that met with him. Then certain philosophers of the Epicureans and of the Stoics encountered him and said, some said, what will this babbler say? Others some, he seemeth to be a setter forth of strange gods, because he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection. That was his message. Philosophers, all of these people. Remember, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the rudiments of men, after the traditions of the world, and not after Christ. We need to bring people back to Jesus Christ. Amen. You could argue with somebody till the cows come home. And I don't know how long that is, because I never lived on a farm. Amen. Could be an hour. But I think the implication is it's a long time. Amen. And you can argue, and you know, a man convinced against his will is of the same opinion still. Sometimes we can't give somebody the right answers and there's just opposition. But you can show somebody how to be saved. That's such a blessing to do that. It goes on and he says, they all wanted to see some new thing or hear some new thing. He walked by their devotions. There were all kinds of idols on the road and they worshiped him. And they came to one that it said, the unknown God. In case they missed a God, they were going to worship the unknown God. All these other gods and the unknown God. And Paul preached unto them and declared unto them who that unknown God was, and it was Jesus Christ. That was his message. That's the message of missionaries. I told you on one of my trips over to Romania, we would go every year and we'd have a Bible Institute and we would preach at a bunch of churches. And one of the preachers told me that there was a pastor from the United States that came there and preached Romania when the doors were first opening there for the gospel. A pastor from the United States went there and preached a message on Santa Claus. I mean, I don't get it. Amen. You know, why he had to say that, good, the kids are over there, but there is no Santa Claus, and I'm sorry to tell you there is no Santa Claus. But I wouldn't say it when the kids are here. Amen. Because they'd throw a songbook at me. But what a message. Preach on Christ. Amen. Preach on salvation. We have to get back to not arguing religious doctrine with somebody. We have to get back to winning souls, showing people how to be saved. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 5:25, 2 Thessalonians 3:1, Ephesians 6:19, brethren, you can look all those verses up, brethren, pray for me that God might open a door, that God might give me utterance, that God might allow me to talk to somebody about Jesus Christ today. Today. Amen? If you love sports, it's easy to talk sports. You can talk sports with anybody. If you see somebody in the Detroit Lions sweatshirt out there, hey, I've been a Lions fan. So, what are they doing in the draft? And boy, they lost this player, but they got this one. And you could just talk forever, you know? Or you see somebody, I don't know, so many things that you could have dialogue with. But what about the Lord, you know? And you could just go up to somebody, you know, God just impressed me to give you this. I'd like to invite you to our church. It has the gospel on it. Amen? We've had boxes of tracts forever here because they just stay in the boxes. There's a verse in the Old Testament. I'm not sure where it is. Nahum, I think. But it says, is the seed still in the barn? And if you go to the gospels, the seed is the word of God. The seed doesn't do any good in the barn. Amen. The seed has to go be planted. Let's just do it. Amen. The simplicity that is in Christ. It's everything to the church. Everything. It's how we honor the Lord. That's how souls are saved. And that's why Jesus came. Amen. Let's bow our heads, please. Father, help us today. May this message just stay in our hearts and minds as we go out into the world, as we think about loved ones, fellow workers, just anybody you bring us in contact with, Lord. Help us to be sensitive. Help us to be ever mindful of how we can plant some seed. It might just be a church invitation. Whatever it is, God, use us, please. Use us for your honor and for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.